This is Columbia Morning at News Talk 1400 KFRU. Oh, I guess it's been a year or so that Don Lanier suggested something that I thought was a pretty good idea. And so we've done several segments around holidays. And we are coming today to talk about a certain non-holiday.
Right.
How about that?
See, well, I picked this because I thought it was a holiday. It's Ramadan.
For the
Islamic community. And it's the ninth month of their year. And they have a lunar calendar. And so it takes Ramadan or any of their events occur at different times because their calendar and our calendar don't mix very well. But right now, something like a billion or more Muslims around the world are observing Ramadan.
I think, probably have one with us in the studio right now. Would you like to introduce him?
Yes. This is Dr. Shakir Hamadi, and he really is, I think, aren't you a nuclear engineer?
By profession, yes.
By profession, But you're not doing that here.
No, I'm not doing that. In your station, at least.
He has a store off of
Naifong and Providence.
Yeah, near Naifong and Providence. And as a matter of fact, it's for sale.
Hey, well, it is going out of business, so we are doing some sale.
So anybody's looking for a sort of a grocery store, it's a World Harvest. It's a World Harvest.
Yes. Yeah. Doctor, many people know you in this community, and they think very highly of you, and they know what you've been through over the last few years. So I appreciate you coming in. And how about just a quick comment about what the support of the community may have meant to you over the last 3 or 4 years as you've gone through the trial and then also situations that you've had to face?
Yeah, before the episode and throughout the episode and after, the support has been tremendous. It means everything for me and my family, really. First of all, I thank you for inviting me to the station, but I would love to have this opportunity to extend the thank to everyone in the community who supported me directly or indirectly, whether he knew me or she knew me or not. The support was just unbelievable.
How important was that for getting through what you went through?
Very important. Very, very important. I think it gave me some peace of mind while I was away. I always say my vacation. So throughout the vacation, it gave me a peace of mind that there are good people in our lovely community of Columbia, Missouri. Yeah.
Well, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on that. I just wanted to know how you would respond to those because I know of many people and even those who had, I think, read about the situation and did not know you personally, and I would include myself in that group, were kind of frustrated by it all and concerned through the time.
I wanted to grab every one of them to give them a hug and say thank you, but this is not possible. But those who can hear me now, this is my feeling, and I cannot pay you enough to really say thank you. And please continue on that path.
Let's get to Ramadan then.
Okay.
Is that how you would say it?
Ramadan, yes.
Ramadan. Yes, now, Ramadan. Don has been sending me emails of things that he's been learning about this.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious as to what is its significance in the whole year of a Muslim's calendar, because a Christian calendar or a Jewish calendar, there would be different times, and each holiday has a different feel to it. Some are very somber events, others are more celebratory events. How would you categorize Ramadan?
See, Ramadan is one of the occasions that God has chosen for the believers to observe certain rituals. Throughout the day, we have five times occasions where we pray. During the week, we have the Friday assembly where we listen to one another for advice. We have, once in a lifetime, we go to Hajj, to pilgrimage, to the holy places. And throughout the year, we have this occasion 1 month, not only 1 day or 1 hour. It is a full month in which we observe the fasting from dawn to sunset. We refrain from eating food, drink, or intimate relationship. So this is an occasion that we truly believe that God has prescribed on us, and our answer is to fully submit and obey his command.
Now, on a lighthearted response to that, I would have chosen a different time than June when we have the earliest sunset and the latest, I mean, earliest sunrise and the latest sunset. You've given yourself the longest period you could possibly give for going through a fast.
See, as Don has elaborated on the lunar calendar and the solar calendar, the lunar calendar is 11 days shorter. So that's why Ramadan comes 11 days earlier every year. So this year we started fasting May 27th. Next year, most likely, will be May 16th. So that is how it goes. So we fast during very short day, and we fast very long day. The essence is, since we claimed Islam, that means we are submitters to God. We submit Him while the days are easy and short. We also submit to Him when the time is hot
and try not long. To try not to complain
and try not to complain. Yes.
Yeah. I was curious about one of the events that you said when you were listing off certain things like the five prayer times. Right after that, you said something about listening. You said something about
we listen and obey. I mean, these are commands that are very authentic in the Quran that we have to do as Muslims. I mean, it's not that we have to. I mean, this is our choice. I mean, it's not something that you are compelled to do. But since you claimed that you are a Muslim, this comes with the baggage, you know. So,
but is that? I thought almost you said like listening to each other and listening to others.
Oh, I see. That is the Friday prayer. One of us will just like the priest,
it's like a sermon or like a sermon, service, you know, at a church. I
usually give about 15 to 20 minutes and advice to the community, and they change from week to week.
I see. Okay,
yeah,
I
the
understand
topic
that.
Changed, the person changed also.
Would there be? We put Muslims or the Islamic faith all together. Christianity, as Don would know, because he's studied it. He's been a preacher, but he's also years ago really good at doing Christian news stories or religious news stories. It is very hard to categorize a Christian and be clear about what that means. Is it less complicated for Muslim, or we have Presbyterians to Church of God Holiness, we have Catholics to Southern Baptist? How about in the Muslim faith? Would we be wrong not to identify the differences?
No, the differences among Muslims to the idea of what makes a Muslim, who is a Muslim, is slightly different or less important than in the Christian faith. In Islam, all Muslims, for example, believe in one God. His name is Allah. Believe in the Quran. No two Muslims dispute about the Quran and its authenticity and when it came and how and so on. They all believe in the prophecy of Muhammad, peace be upon him. They all believe in the absolute justice of God. And accordingly, there is accountability after we die. So these parameters all Muslims believe in. So that's why it is really less apparent. So any Muslim could come and pray in our mosque here in Columbia, Missouri.
Are there conservative Muslims and liberal Muslims?
See, that is, it depends how serious you want to take your Islam. That's why when I said nobody can compel you to fast, you can still be a Muslim. But at the end of the day, it's between you and God. And the day of judgment, there is accountability. He will tell you, hey, I commanded you to fast. Where is your fasting in your page? There's none. So then there's accountability. There's some consequences. Yes.
Don and Don Lanier's. I don't want to take all the questions because I know you've done this. What did you have that struck you when you started looking into this? And Dr. Ahmadi, who's here with us, what did you have for him as a question, or what did you learn as you started studying on this?
It just seemed to me that it was a long time to fast. It's 17 hours now this year.
This is almost, it's almost. I come
almost
to
17 hours.
It's almost 17
without
hours.
Without food or water, you know.
For and, several days in a row, not just one day.
That's amazing to me. The other thing that I find very interesting with the Muslim practice is that they pray five times a day five times, no matter what you're doing, you stop what you're doing, and they continue on with their work and school or whatever it is, you know, and they stop, and for what, 15 minutes maybe?
A prayer probably does not take more than 5 minutes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But you're reminded. The thing that gets me is you're reminded of your relationship with God. And I have met people who go all day long and never think about God.
Yeah. Are these spontaneous prayers? Or are these written prayers that you recite from memory?
No. See, the prayer, that's why it's I always try to be on the same platform, on the same page. A prayer in the English language is really, from our perspective as Muslims, is a supplication. A supplication you can do while driving your car, while lying in bed, while, you know, chatting with me. You can do your prayer. But the prayer in Islam really has no correspondence word. It's a salah. Salah, literally, in the linguistic meaning, is a connection with God. So the salah in Islam is a structured way of communicating with God. It includes recitation, include bowing down, prostrating to the floor, reciting few things, and you do not indulge in side talk while you are praying. So this is the Islamic prayer is different from just any prayer. Any prayer is a supplication. You can do that anytime. But the prayer, the Muslim prayer, is this structured way of communicating with God.
And you can form your own prayer, is that right?
No, it is structured. It is absolute structured for the last 1,400 years. And not only that, the Quran tells us that previous messengers, the same thing, they used to pray the same way. Jesus, peace be upon him, Moses, peace be upon him, Abraham, they all prostrate to the floor and supplicate and try to ask forgiveness from God and ask for guidance in that moment.
And that's one of the things that we notice, those of us who are not Muslims, is that whenever we see pictures, we always see all these men who are bent over facing the floor.
Absolutely.
And the purpose of that?
This is the situation where the human could be closest to God and more humbled to the Creator. That you put your forehead, which is the most dignified part of your body, you put it on the floor and tell him, God, I am your servant. Forgive me for what I did and guide me to do better.
And five times a day.
Five times a day, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, every day. Not just in Ramadan.
Not just Ramadan.
And it's scattered throughout the day. One of them is at dawn. For example, now is around 4 o'clock. And the other one is slightly in the afternoon, about 1 o'clock, late in the afternoon, after sunset, and then late at night. We do not have to go to the mosque to do the prayer. We can do them in our offices, in the street, in the airport. We can do that anywhere. Really.
Can I tell a story?
Yes.
My wife and I were in Cairo, Egypt one time, and we were on our way for a dinner appointment, and we took a cab. And the traffic is just horrendous in Cairo and in a lot of places overseas. Yeah. You know, the lines in the street don't mean a thing. You know, people are just whizzing in and out and so forth. And I was watching the driver of our cab, and he was just muttering. And I thought, what is he saying? Mm. And I listened a little bit, and I decided he's praying. And in that kind of traffic, I was glad somebody was praying.
would not have been his formal prayer.
No, probably not. But I'm sure he was probably squeezed in time, maybe.
It was about 5 o'clock.
A couple
of questions for you. Are there statistics as to the percentage of Muslims who do practice five times a day prayer?
Oh, I think by far the majority, those who practice, because prayer is really just the sign of a Muslim. You know, prayer, I would say by far the majority.
You also use the word salah, I think.
The salah, which is the connection.
Now, it seems to me like in some translations of the Christian Bible, especially in the Psalms, there were little words similar to that that I could remember that would have been used as signs or symbols or connections of some sort or instructions. I don't know that for sure. I'm going to have to go back and look to see that. So when you, at the end of Ramadan, and that will be what, June 26th or something like that?
Something like that, yes.
So how do you celebrate the finish of this month?
That day, we break our fast, you know, by simple, you know, a piece of fruit or piece of dates. And then we go to a sermon that's in the morning around 8 o'clock, where we assemble here in Colombia. At least 1,000 people come to the celebration, and then we, you know, chat with our neighbors, with our friends, and have a good meal at lunch, and that's it. You know, it is a full obedience to Allah, to God, to Allah. We do not take that occasion in a way to abuse. You know, hey, Ramadan is over. Let me just party.
No, it's not
no,
a party.
No, that's okay. No, it's not a party. It is a continuation of our obedience to God.
What is the population, Muslim population in Colombia or Boone County, best number?
Yeah, Colombia and about 50 miles circle around Colombia, I would say around in the 2,000 people probably.
What is the role of evangelism in Muslim? In other words, our conversion, trying to increase the number of the Muslim community.
We do not really have that understanding in Islam. In Islam, every Muslim is required to live Islam so as to be an example for others to attract and ask, okay, this is a good Muslim. Let me see what kind of doctrine that he is following. That by itself, if you want to call it evangelism, that is our evangelism. If Don is my friend and we have mingled with one another, we went for coffee and lunch, and then if he wants to learn about Islam, if I want to learn about Christianity, this is the way. But there is no pushing, no going, knocking at the door and say, hey, you are going to go to hell, you know, if you do not listen to me. No.
Do Muslims believe in hell?
Of course, yes.
And heaven?
And heaven,
what
course.
Is the picture of heaven?
Well, the picture of heaven, we draw it from the Quran and also the picture of hell. The heaven is a wonderful place to be. God said literally that no eye has ever seen and no picture has ever been formed in your mind about heaven. Mm-hmm. It is an eternal pleasure and it has things that you never dream of.
I'm curious also, in today's atmosphere, what is the level of fear in the Muslim community, would you say?
In this political atmosphere, I would say Muslims, you know, they have a degree of fear of the unknown, because every day, you know, we have really different mode, you know, and different statement coming to their door. But you know, this is life. Life, we face difficulty, and we Muslims feel that we are not true Muslims if we are not tested. And sometimes we are tested with ease, because wealth is a test also. Because how do I use this wealth? Do I abuse it? Do I use it wisely? Do I share it with less fortunate people? This is by itself a test. The other side of the test is the hardship. The hardship, okay, this hardship that I am facing, does God know about it? If I say no, I say, hey, if God doesn't know, then what kind of Muslim are you, you know? So God knows about it, then I have to turn myself to God to relieve me from that.
Do you think there's much difference in the feeling of comfort in your children's generation and your grandchildren's generation as it comes compared to your generation? You are first generation American?
Yeah, I came here 32 years ago. Yes.
So for your sons and your daughter and for their sons and daughters eventually, are they going to experience this country differently, do you expect?
None of my children, I mean all of them were born here, and none of them had visited Iraq. And they feel far more Americans, you know, than anybody, you know, can imagine. So they feel this is part of our life, and they are committed to both Islam and to this land, because we Muslims feel all lands belong to God, really. So why should I consider this land different from the land that I was born in? So my children take that as serious as I can.
I want to refer to a article that I just read this morning, and it was in the New York Times, and it was, I'm sorry, Washington Post, written by a woman who is an associate professor of sociology at Connecticut College, and she is a Muslim, and she says, conservatives say Muslims need to stop terrorism. I wish we could. I mean, that's what the headline is given to this. And she's talking about how in her teaching and in her experience, she says, we have not afforded Islam an understanding like we have Christianity. She asks her students sometimes to finish this statement, Muslim women are... And they can come up with finishes of that sentence. And she gives some examples, but I'm not going to take time doing it. And then she says, all right, finish this statement. Christian women are. And the response she often gets is, well, how can we say all Christian women are universally this way like they are able to do with Muslims? Do you think that that is okay? Do you think that is something that is... That is, as she says, we have not afforded Islam this understanding. No matter what word we choose, reducing a group of billions of people with a diverse and complicated history to a unified ahistorical identity produces a false and reductive image of them. It is one that has no basis in reality.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, Muslims, 1.6, 1.7 billion human being, and the articles that I said, all of them share believing in God, believing in the hereafter, the justice, believing in the Quran, believing in Muhammad, peace be upon him. They all share that. But what is left is really scattered in a huge spectrum from Indonesia, Malaysia, all the way to North America and Canada, and passing through the Arabs where Islam came. So you see different cultures, different treatment of women, different, but many of them, those who go in the liberal side when it comes to women, for example, or drinking or partying, or to go to the way very conservative side of it, these are, if they relate that to the teachings of Islam, they may fall into error, because the teachings of Islam are very clear that men and women have to dress modestly. That's it, you know? Yeah. In Indonesia, they understand it differently. In Saudi Arabia, they understand it differently.
How, well, we're almost out of time, and we may have to do this again at another time because I like the conversation. Okay. The how does the incident of terrorism that is oftentimes in this world now rightly or wrongly associated with Muslim and the Islamic faith, how does that trouble Muslims?
Well, it troubled Muslims in a sense that people use the same brush to label all the community with one guilty. I mean, if somebody goes and robs a bank, do I come and ask, what is your faith? I mean, I should treat that as a crime, you know. 50 years ago, we never heard about Muslim terrorism. You know, this is none. It is part of the package, political and geopolitical package that the whole world is going through. This is very wrong for us as Muslims, really, to relate terrorism to the faith itself, to the teaching, because the teachings are there. They're for everybody to go and dig and read and understand. Yes, you may come across verses that deals with the warfare 1,400 years back. That is then. If we have the same situation now, probably they are applicable, but they are not applicable to my neighbor, Dan. I mean, I cannot carry the sword and say, hey, you are an infidel and I have to chop your head. No, this is an absolutely erroneous understanding of the religion. Muslims are peaceful people. They adhere to God. They connect with God five times a day. And it is hardly unlikely that they would do these atrocities. Those of them who really do those, they come within a bigger package that probably the time would not allow to elaborate at this time.
Maybe next time.
Oh, hopefully.
Would you return maybe sometime?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Shakir. And how's the pronunciation?
Hamoudi.
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 Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. And I look forward to be with you For a better understanding of our, you know.
What is the proper way of saying, like we would say Merry Christmas. We wouldn't say Merry Ramadan. What would you say?
You say Happy Ramadan.
Happy Ramadan.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Or yeah. Okay. You know, or Ramadan Mubarak. Mubarak means
Mubarak.
Mubarak means blessed. Ramadan Mubarak means blessed.
Bless Ramadan to you.
And at the end, thank you. At the end of Ramadan, we will have the Eid. You know, also the Eid is the holiday where your program is concerned about. So right. this is the day of Eid, which is the holiday.
Yeah, and that would be June the 25th.
25th, about that. Yeah.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Don Lanier, thank you. Appreciate the work that you've done to help us get Dr. Hanouti here. Yeah.